welcome to Motivational Monday. Grab your Java. We're going to dive deep today. The three grace and action items are unyielding persistence and unwavering commitment to justice. That's a big call. Achieve friendship and understanding through negotiation, compromise, or consensus. Considering each circumstance to discern which is most helpful, and we know it takes all of those at times to figure out a pathway forward. And then whenever possible, seek the common good over your mere private good. And so what is the best for community, the world, creation? Big questions. Well, I want to get after that by talking about way of life. I know I say that a lot, that God desires real life, full life, abundant life, or that we are to be doing things in a way that produce life for the sake of the world. And I'll unpack that here in the words that are to come, some of these words from Dr. Leonard Sweet in his book Soul Salsa. And so we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our, there you know what it is, way of life. That's from Ephesians 2, verse 10. And if your heart's in the right place, it's not enough. You see, the most frightful thing anyone could say, perhaps, is that we meant well. And that's it. That we just meant well. No, our hands and feet must be in the same places as our heart. Godly living is a way of life. We aren't all called to be Mother Teresa's, but we all are called to be Jesus. You see, God has chosen us all in Christ. Karl Barth wrote about this when he said, at the deepest level, we're all called Jesus in the eyes of the Father. The essence of in his steps and in his spirit is to do whatever you are doing as if Jesus were the one doing it. A Jesus pilgrim performs life as Jesus performed life. To be a follower of Jesus is to have a Jesus spirit living and growing in us. It's what we call discipleship. It's about all the educational aspects, the youth ministry, the children's ministry, our servant ministries. It's all about yielding to Christ and allowing that Jesus spirit to live and grow in us. Well, there's this word, praxeology. It's the study of human actions and conduct. Jesus invited the world to judge his followers by their praxis, their actual practice in the life of his commands and example. He extended this invitation by his list of beatitudes, which I talked about last week, which if you missed that, go back, listen to the podcast from last week, and then jump back in here. Because the beatitudes are filled with performative language. You see, Jesus used the Greek word makarios, which we translate as blessed. But a blessed life in Jesus' sense of the word means a life of service dedicated to extending God's promises and protection to those who need them the most. Yes, that we are to be extending God's promise and protection to those who need them the most. Thus, to be faithful to God means being faithful to those at the bottom of the social scale. To be blessed by God means one is a blessing to those least blessed. The Beatitudes then are not a throwaway list of bedtime benedictions, but the marching orders for a whole new world. The paradox of history is that where the light is brightest, the shadows are often the darkest. And the tragedy of any moment in history is that we could be having few too bright lights shining out in the world. What are the voices that are shaping culture or society? Who is it that we look to for leadership in life and guidance for all that is going on in the world? I think it's important that we can name those. What is that shaping power, that shaping voice for each of us? And again, is Jesus, is his voice at the very center of those kinds of conversations. When you think about all the things that go on in the world and all those things that have been done in Christ's name over the past two millennia, we can see how sin is a major problem and how it's caused so many sociological and psychological problems at the center of it all. Whether you talk about ethnic cleansing in Kosovo or the genocides of Bosnia and Rwanda, the outrages of East Timor, our own issues of racism and slavery as it's played out all around us. Really, we should shiver with the unshakable sense of self-disgust when we look back on our own history and simply see the prominence of sin everywhere. It's why we have confession and forgiveness. We must hand that over to God and say, God, help us. Well, there's an old Air Force saying, if you can keep your head when all about you, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, then maybe you just haven't grasped the situation. Well, if we, the Lord's disciples, keep silence when a billion people live in absolute poverty, the very rocks will cry out. If we, the Lord's disciples, keep silence when developing countries are being paved under by the information superhighway, the very rocks will cry out. If we, the Lord's disciples, keep silent while millions are struggling to emerge from the thick capitalist undergrowth, the very rocks will cry out. If we, the Lord's disciples, keep silence as the world's population soars, the very rocks will cry out. If we, the Lord's disciples, keep silent as people are more concerned about accumulating physical assets than spiritual ones, the very rocks will cry out. If we, the Lord's disciples, keep silence as the combination of overpopulation or overconsumption impacts global warming, resource shortages, ocean and freshwater pollution, air quality, traffic congestion, the unequal distribution of wealth, etc., the very rocks will cry out. If we, the Lord's disciples, keep silence when there's something to be said about the things in the world that are broken, and something that we can actually go to work on, the very rocks will cry out. If we, the Lord's disciples, keep silence when there's no one to bridge the ridges that divide one generation from another, the very rocks will cry out. And if we, the Lord's disciples, keep silence in a world that has for too long allowed pain and suffering to be heaped upon generations of people who've been cut off from equality, the very rocks will cry out. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, says Psalm 51:15. If there is a teaching of Jesus that makes scientific sense today, just as it was on the day that it was offered, it's this: inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of my people, my brethren, my brothers and sisters, ye have done it unto me. From Matthew 25:40. Jesus taught that we live in a world where what goes on in one corner affects every corner, where what happens to one child in Turkey affects every in Manhattan. Well, how can that be? It's the interconnectedness of the world. It's the dancing atoms, the dancing cells, the dancing DNA, the interrelatedness of the entire universe. Yes, what affects one affects all. And thus we need intention on how it is that we live as disciples, how we live, love, and serve alongside one another. And there's no one too small, no act too small, for all of it makes a major difference. Even the smallest units can amass the greatest amounts of energy and generate the greatest amounts of change. Yes, you can be one person with one touch, with one helping hand, and it can change things. And as much as you did it to the least, Jesus said, you did it to me. Well, I'll close with this. It is said that after Mother Teresa received the Nobel Peace Prize, she was approached by some reporters. They asked her if such acclaim and recognition might not go to her head. In response, she asked them if they remembered the story of Christ entering Jerusalem on a donkey and the road being strewn with garments and palm branches by the adoring crowd. They said they did. And so she replied, "And do you think the donkey thought it was in his honor?" Yes, let us remember who it is who calls us, the one who's called each of us by name. Stay motivated, church. There is so much good to be a part of in this world, and God is calling us. Take care and be well. Good day.